Hare Krishna, my devotees. Is this virtual or reality? I'm a bit curious. It's been 18 months. I mean, I know everyone talks about this, but I don't want to miss out. So it's a long, long time. Anyway, I guess this is the only reality there is in this material world. Outside is all illusion, dream. So thank you very much for inviting me to give this class all about Grihastha Ashram, Grihastha life. So it's probably appropriate to where I am at the moment and a few others. Just like to take the blessings of all the devotees here. It's been a long time. Rust has accumulated over the months. So please, I beg you to help me say something that is appropriate, that would be, you know, effective in today's life. Mother Moksha, you are a stalwart devotee here. You're setting such a wonderful example. Therefore, Harinam, preaching, doing everything you can to give us some inspiration. Govinda, Harinam ki jai. That's your food for, you know, Ruchi. Your Ruchi is the holy name. So the holy name is everything. Whether we give class every day, we speak every day, we preach every day. But at the end of the day, everything accumulates to the chanting of the holy name, the Harinama mantra. It's very easy, but if we get it, then our life, you know, is complete. So, we're reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2.2.1.16. So I feel a bit, you know, low, because we've had, like, Maharajas giving class this week, yesterday Mahavishnu Maharaj, Chandramoni Swami, Govinda, all the devotees that are, like, really, you know, bookworms, and they know the knowledge like the back of their hand. So please, if there's anything you find not quite right or not up to standard, please forgive me. So, let's see. I forgot what we get into the verse, right? Forgot what we do, you know. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. One should leave home and practice self-control. In a sacred place, he should bathe regularly and sit down in a lonely place duly sanctified. Please repeat. One should leave home and practice self-control. In a sacred place, he should bathe regularly and sit down in a lonely place duly sanctified. It's 1.5-page purport, so please bear with me. To prepare oneself for the better half of next life, one must get out of one's so-called home. The system of Vanishram Dharma, or Sanatan Dharma, prescribes retirement from family encumbrances as early as possible after one has passed 50 years of age. Modern civilization is based on family comforts, the highest standard of amenities, and therefore after retirement, everyone expects to live a very comfortable life in a well-furnished home decorated with fine ladies and children, without any desire to get out of such a comfortable home. High government officers and ministers stick to their prized post until death, and they neither dream nor desire to get out of homely comforts. Bound by such hallucinations, materialistic men prepare various plans for a still more comfortable life. But suddenly, cruel death comes without mercy and takes away the great plan maker against his desire, forcing him to give up the present body for another body. Such a plan maker is thus forced to accept another body in one of the 8,400,000 species of life. according to the fruits of work he has performed. In the next life, persons who are too much attached to family comforts are generally awarded lower species of life, and thus all the energy of human life is spoiled. In order to be safe from the danger of spoiling the human form of life and being attached to unreal things, one must take warning of death at the age of 50, if not earlier. The principle is that one should take it for granted that the death warning is already there, even prior to the attainment of 50 years of age. And thus, at any stage of life, one should prepare himself for the better next life. The system of Sanatana Dharma institution is so made that the follower is trained for the better next life without any chance that the human life will be spoiled. The holy places all over the world are meant for the residential purposes of retired persons getting ready for a better next life. Intelligent persons must go there at the end of life, and for that matter, after 50 years of age, to live a life of spiritual regeneration for the sake of being freed from family attachment, which is considered to be the shackle of material life. One is recommended to quit home just to get rid of material attachment, because one who sticks to family life until death cannot get rid of material attachment. And as long as one is materially attached, one cannot understand spiritual freedom. One should not, however, become self-complacent, simply leaving home by creating another home at the holy place, either lawfully or unlawfully. Many persons leave home and go to such holy places, but due to bad association, again become family men by illicit connection with the opposite sex. The illusory energy of matter is so strong that one is apt to be under such illusion at every stage of one's life, even after quitting one's happy home. Therefore, it is essential that one practice self-control by celibacy, without the least desire for sex indulgence. For a man desiring to improve the condition of his existence, sex indulgence is considered suicidal, or even worse. Therefore, to live apart from family life means to become self-controlled in regard to all sense desires, especially sex desires. The method is that one should have a duly sanctified sitting place made of straw, deerskin, and carpet. I thought that was a bit... carpet is like home, isn't it? And thus, sitting on it, one should chant the holy name of the Lord without offense, as prescribed above. The old process is to drag the mind from material engagements and fix it on the lotus feet of the Lord. This simple process alone will help one advance to the highest stage of spiritual success. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Jnanatmarandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksurunmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Yem Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dharati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Patakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sakanalanitasham Jivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sakanalalita Shri Vishakavitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpati Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishvare Vishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Ari Priye Vancha Kalpa Drubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhemicha Patitanam Pavan Vyu Vaishnava Vyu Namo Namaha. So, this is like a sequence of events taking place up until the present. And in the beginning, the first verse is Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And Sukadev is very excited and very happy with Parikshit Maharaj's question. So Parikshit Maharaj's question was, what is one's duty at the time of death? And this was the most glorious thing that Sukadev could hear. Because this question is not like based on any particular faith, religion, it's universal. Everyone's going to die in some point of a life. So the acharyas, the great saints and sages, they are looking on how to illuminate the human race. Because the human race is the most important out of the 8,400,000 species of life. There's only 400,000 species of human forms. And the acharyas, the saints, the sages, you know, Krishna himself comes down to give some encouragement and, you know, inspiration for humanity to take to this process. So this question amongst the materialists, as Maharaj was saying yesterday, to them, talking about death is morbid. But for devotees, it's different. Devotees is like a reawakening, especially if they have a number of days to live or months, or they're going through like some pain and suffering towards that goal, towards the day when they're going to leave. So in this way, they actually practice more and try to remember the teachings. So because the materialists, they think that this dead subject is a bit depressing and morbid, they don't look into it. So they're interested in how to accumulate wealth, how to be happy, how to enjoy to the maximum. So we understand that this place, this material world, is sometimes called a place of death. Well, birth, death, old age, and disease. But no matter how hard we might try to prolong our life in so many different ways through operations and, you know, Ayurveda, yoga, or whatever the case may be, we're trying our best to prolong our life. But ultimately, we cannot escape death, as sure as death. So that is the thing. We have to try to practice to achieve that goal, how to get out of this material world. And the way to do this is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Vyasadev was very unhappy when he compiled the Vedic literatures. And the Srimad Bhagavatam was missing. So he was wondering, why is he feeling like this? There is some lack in whatever work he's written, so many, you know, literatures, but there's still something missing. And Narada Muni came and he gave him some insight. The focus, the main point is missing. The name, the form, the glories, and the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, you know, is missing. So then Srimad Bhagavatam came about, and this is nectar for us. And it's explained that if we hear, glorify, and remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead in our Nityam Bhagavata Saviour, in our everyday activities, if we do this, then with full attention, then it says that we get unflinching faith in worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because this, the deeper you go into the pastimes, the qualities, the name, the fame, and if you discuss it amongst devotees, you take that association, and the more like elated and happy you feel within you, because this material body, you know, we externally look at it, but everything is happening from within, deep within ourselves, you know. Happiness comes. We always, when we're preaching, when we're doing Sankirtan, we tell people that happiness comes from within. But we can't just say it just for the sake of it. We have to experience that from within. If you don't experience that from within, then you can't give it. Sometimes, even if we cannot do, preach or give out books or whatever the case may be, if we cannot do it physically, then we can meditate on it. At least meditate on how you can give out the message as we are getting it. Because we feel happy, we feel blissful in engaging in service, so we want others to feel the same as this. So we should, in our minds, meditate on how we can do this. There was, I feel now Jarai is entering, you know, into my life. And I feel all the aches and the pains and restrictions. I can't dance too much because I go breathless. I can't walk too fast. I can't do this. I can't do that. So there's so many restrictions there. But the meditations should be there. There's a little example. I'll give you a few. Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. I was in India in 2020, right in the beginning of 2020. And that's when the pandemic started and we were in India. And then we came back in like end of February, March, and the COVID or the pandemic was just starting in this in UK. But end of March, I was so-called diagnosed with COVID after my 1 month being in India. So actually, my oxygen level was low. I hope you don't mind me talking about myself, but I'm using examples because I find it's easier for people, for devotees to digest things when you talk about examples. I'm not like a big philosopher, you know, all the verses like that, like some people do. But I find that talking about examples in today's living, one can, make adjustments and changes in their life. Anyway, I was diagnosed. And then I went to hospital, but I was okay. It was my oxygen level that went down to 77, which for ordinarily, normal, it should be between 90 and 96. And it was very low, so I went to hospital. And then they thought I had COVID, and they were doing all these tests and all that. But I ended up in a ward, but I was fully, I knew what was going on around me. I didn't have any symptoms or anything, but my oxygen level was low. So after a week, I was discharged. That's fine. So I'm just saying that because so many things can happen around you, but the focus is one. We have to focus our mind on the goal, whatever happens around us. So a couple of months ago, my oxygen level, now and again it goes low. I don't know what reason. I did all the tests, even the doctors don't know why. So level went low. Maybe my breathing technique is not quite right. So 2 months ago, I had this again, and I called 111, and they said to me, look, you have to go to hospital, or we're going to send the paramedics over. It was 77 again. So then I get, around after 10 minutes, I get the ambulance in front of my house, and there were three young girls between the age of 21 and 23, three girls. And this was the first time these girls have been put together working in the paramedics. So they came with a big suitcase and they came over and they said to me that, oh, we need to take you to hospital. I said, no, there's no need. I said, I have an oximeter. I take my level, my oxygen level, and it goes up and down like a yo-yo. If I breathe it, you do the technique of breathing properly, then my level goes up. So they stayed there for 45 minutes, these girls, young girls. So I asked each one what the names were, And we were having a conversation, although they were taking my reading and all that. It was like 88 when they came. So they were taking, it was rising. And we got into a conversation about, you know, they said to me, how comes you're not even concerned? Your oxygen level is so low. So I thought, this is a question for preaching. So I said, actually, you know, life is life. We have to accept it as it comes. So I got into preaching. And then I asked what their names were. One was Roberto. One was Roberta, and one was Amy, I think, and the other one was Tula. So I thought, this sounds spiritual. What is a Tula? What is Tula, Govinda? What's the meaning of Tula? I didn't know the meaning then.
Equal.
Equal. And a Tula is unequaled, like Krishna. So, and then I didn't know the meaning. This girl's name was Tula. So I said to her, oh, Tula, I said, do you know the meaning of your name? And she said, no. I said, oh, I know it's a Sanskrit term, and I know it's spiritual, but I don't know the meaning because my friend's son's name is Atula. So they were very, very interested. And we got to talking and where they came from and, you know, what. And at the end, they said, oh, we have to leave now because, you know, everything seems fine. They made some notes. And I said, you came here. You can't go barehanded. The one that was 21, she was the driver of this big ambulance. So they went off with a Bhagavad Gita and a Back to Godhead magazine. So, but I said to them, I said, you three girls, you didn't come here by chance, you know. All three of you between 21 and 23, it's not by chance. It's the will of the Lord. Now you take these books, go home, look at it, and, you know, come back to me if you need to. So that was amazing, you know. So somehow we have to, you know, have this meditation of our, like Mahavishnu Maharaj was saying yesterday, so exciting. Sometimes I go online and I look at all the Harinam parties all over the world. Amazing. Some of our devotees, they do this like rap and they do this funny, what, this dancing, and people get so excited. They join, you know. And Maharaj was saying how he shakes hands and he, you know, chants and they look bewildered. So somehow we need to chant and give this holy name out, because living without Krishna is suicidal. It's like, you know, it's pure hell, actually. And then in the same beginning stories where so many other great kings, Raja Rishis, are given, you know, the examples of Raja Rishis, and Maharaj, the story of Maharaj Katvanga. That's a beautiful story. Maharaj Katvanga is a very, very great king, very powerful. Great kings like Bharat, Parikit Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, all these were very, very exalted Raja Rishis. And when it was time to renounce, they just left, dropped everything behind, and they walked away from home. So the story of Katvanga Maharaj, he was so powerful, the demigods even were like taken aback by his power and his prestige and his ruling of the kingdom. He ruled everything, and at the same time he could focus on the goal. So the demigods were pleased with him. They invited him to help them actually to kill demons because they were being harassed, and then they wanted help. And they knew he was powerful, and he was willing to help them. So he went, he killed so many demons, and the demigods were very pleased with him. So they said, now, okay, you killed so many demons, we want to give you something to enjoy. You know, some opulence to, so you can go and enjoy. Then he asked a question. He said, okay, you want to give me this opulence, but how long have I got? You know, give me my time. How long have I got? And they said to him, just a moment. He said, the demigod said to him, just a moment. So don't ask me a question what that moment was, because I don't know. Because he came down and he completely took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He came down to the material world to do his ruling again, and he took shelter of the Supreme Lord. So, Govinda, you said the other day that Parikshit Maharaj was given 7 days to live. And I don't know if we got even 7 minutes, you said, to live. So this Krishna Kant for us, like our practice, is from the time we become devotees. Prabhupada says you practice, and then this practice becomes a habit, and this habit will become second nature. Like for a devotee, if it's like a resident, I mean, outside, Grihasthas might have a little difficulty, but because they practicing every day, the body becomes like clockwork. 3-4 o'clock in the morning, they're just rising. They're taking, even though they don't set their alarm, they can rise. So they're practicing regularly. And, that's from there. I didn't even start with the verse today. So Kriya Kshetra is entanglement. This entanglement is keeping us here. But we can't just walk away from home. We have to be sober, prematurely going away from home actually doesn't complete our household life, just leaving. We have to be sober and we have to be focused, self-controlled, so we can practice our spiritual life, you know, without any deviation. So sober and pious. Pious, we have to look for a holy place. Now, when we talk about holy place, we think, oh, Vrindavan, you know, or Dwarka, or Mathura, whatever. But holy place here is universal. There's Christians, there's Muslims, there's Hindus, it's universal. You can't just think that if you go to a place, an ashram or a temple, everyone has a particular way of worship, and we have to respect that. Holy place can be Mecca, can be, you know, Paris or France, there's beautiful churches there, any place, you know. Krishna says, whatever way you worship, indirectly, this worship is for me. So however you worship, you know, it is for Krishna. So this holy place, and then we have to clean ourselves, we have to be clean, bodily, mentally, internally, and externally clean, to be able to worship. The place should be clean, and then according to Bhagavad Gita, the seat should not be too high or too low, you know, all this. And it should be a sacred place. It should be a sacred place, but you can, Prabhupada says that if the husband and wife are practicing Krishna consciousness and they're focused in the on serving, on hearing and chanting, there's no need to leave home. I got a little calendar. There's a meditation there on quotes from Srila Prabhupada. And it's like a thought for the day. It's very beautiful meditation. And Prabhupada says there that a husband does not have to leave home. He can make his home a temple, you know. But you have to move away from the home to another home. In the same house, you have to have another room, or you have to have a separate place where you worship, where you can put your seat. And yeah, it says carpet, you know. Most homes got carpet. So you have a sitting place where you worship, you know. And then it says vivikta. Vivikta means solitary place. No children, you know, tagging on your aprons or sari or dhoti. You know, everything has to be solitary place so you can focus your mind on concentration on the seed, on the Supreme Lord. So there's like two extremes to this verse here today. First, it talks about how one should fix one's mind, and more mainly for devotees, how one can elevate himself. And then it talks about modern civilization. Modern civilization, first of all, Vanashram, the Brahmins and the sannyasis, they can actually take care of themselves. They get alms, they can, you know, people, Grihasthas and Vanaprasthas, they look after them. But for the Kshatriyas and the Vanaprasthas, they need to stay at home. And it's explained that the wife is actually the one that protects or protects or helps the husband on his progress.
Dharma Patni,
yes. Helps the husband on his progress to Krishna consciousness. And Chanaka Pandit says, the way to keep a wife happy is to provide her with what she needs, whatever she needs. Yeah. Lots of saris, bangles, jewelry. You provide her with everything so she's peaceful. She can be Shri, expansion all round materially, and she can be Shri, expansion all round spiritually. She can be, you know, both. So one has to be, the husband has to be super careful how to please the wife, how to make her happy, so she doesn't become a hindrance in his life. If he's not focused and he's not dedicated, he's not one mind focused on the goal, then the house is havoc. That's what Prabhupada said. There's havoc created in the family. So somehow the husband is has a lot of responsibility. Most of the time, the wife is the target. I'm sorry to say this. But the majority of times, the wife is the target. She's less intelligent, she's this, she's that, she can't control her senses, you know, so many different things. But the husband has the responsibility, because if the wife is less intelligent, then the husband should be intelligent enough to provide her, to give her intelligence, and to help her along the path. Because a wife does not have to follow any ritual. She does not have to follow anything at all. No rules and regulation. She is the dasi of her husband. She is the servant of the husband. But if the husband is not following and is all over the place, then it's very difficult for the wife to follow as well. So this is very, very important that husband and wife are one. They work as a team. Like Moksha Lakshmi and Parshuram Ki Jai. They're always working together. How? You know, how to serve people. I get like twice a week, I get prasadam at my door. I have a couple of tenants that maybe can't afford food. And there's boxes of hot prasadam twice a week with fruits and vegetables, you name it, and it's there. And it's most magnanimous, you know. Prabhupada says you can walk your way back home, back to Godhead through prasadam and chanting the holy names. So this Krishna consciousness is so beautiful if we just take to it. So, yeah, high government, talking about high government, how they want to, this is a contrast now, the high government, the materialists, how they want to hold on to the position, you know. We don't have to go so far. I don't want to give any names. In America, we had one president like fighting tooth and nail to keep his position. He won't budge. He went in like 6 months. He was proving that the votes account of the votes were wrong. No, he was meant to be the president again. He wanted to rule again. And the one that got the votes, he's almost 70. He was meant to leave home, go to the forest. He meant to like you know, find out who am I, where did I come from, what is the goal of life, like Parikshit Maharaj, what is my duty in life? He should be asking that question. But no, he's got the throne, 70 plus, and he is ruling now, so what to do? This is, one does not want to give up the position, irrespective of age. They just want to name, fame, glory. So they work out anything to get money, to line their pockets, to live in a comfortable situation, a mansion or whatever they are, how to enjoy to the max. But then all the plans are dashed. Everything, when cruel death comes and steals their life away, what can they do? And death doesn't care about anything, whether you have family members, whether they're young, whether they're old, whether they're suffering. Death has no mercy. So you have to face death. What to do? You need to give up the body. And then when we explains that when one is too attached to family life, one spoils one's human form of life. So now we have to take the lower species. We've come around so many millions of times, and now we have to go back to lower species. So Prabhupada says, 50 years, if you want to save yourself, at least prepare now. If you haven't done it all these years, then at least at the age of 50, start. Because time is running out, you know. So it should start earlier, but at least do it now. So the Sanatana Dharma is meant to have a better next life. With devotees, with Vedic way of living, everything in our life is a ritual. From the time we take birth to the time of death, there's rituals. For dying, there's rituals. For, you know, going to school, for, you know, getting married, for eating, sleeping, whatever we're doing, there's a ritual to be performed. But with the Hare Krishna Ma Mantra, some of these rituals are, you know, not, they fall away. So how to quit home? Absorbed in family, one has to leave home. One cannot practice detachment surrounded by material possessions. I should be stopping now, shouldn't I? 20, yeah, 8:30. Okay, this, anyway. Yeah. Right, so somehow you can leave home, you can quit your home, or you can stay at home and practice Krishna consciousness, but soberly, Dira. So we'll stop there. Sorry, I didn't look at the time. So. Hare Krishna, thank you very much for listening. Anyone quickly, anything?
Does it say anywhere in any of the shastras how many Saturdays it's supposed to
be? As many as possible. Yeah.
At least 2 a month.
Month is too long. What problem? Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Mataji. You mentioned that women aren't required to perform any rituals. They are just to be servants of their husbands.
Yep.
So is it seen that women become less entangled by family life? Or are they, is there attachment to the husband?
Women, in days gone by, long time, actually, when the husband leaves the body, then the wife will enter the fire, but the husband should be pure. But in this age, it's not done. Prabhupada says people that in India now, they actually, their families, external families or whatever, they actually push the wife into the fire. You know, it's like that. But in Kali Yuga, that's stopped. But if the husband is a responsible husband and he's following, he's focused in devotional service, then the wife has nothing else to do. She is serving the husband and he is serving the Supreme Lord. The husband is actually the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's actually the guru, the spiritual master of the wife, basically.
This is Kali Yuga. So does this, it seems like this is an ideal situation, but for that to actually happen, similar to the idea of funeral fires, like that was maybe in some other times this could have happened and been pure, but even the idea of, you know, the husband being a representative of Krishna and then being pure, that relationship, how applicable, you know, how...
Yeah, okay, so if the husband is not responsible, is not pure, then Srila Prabhupada says, each one flies his own plane. Everyone takes responsibility for themselves, especially in Kali Yuga, it's very difficult. Sometimes people ask the question, Krishna had 16,108 wives, why can't I? And Prabhupada would say to this, today can't even maintain two wives. What to speak of 16,000? So okay, if the husband is not following whatever, then normally a woman take to devotional service faster than a man. A woman works to emotions, logic and reason, whereas a man just logic and reason. So woman has emotion. She loves Krishna. She, without even understanding the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, she can give her heart. You see some women, they got no education. They don't read, they don't write, but they have love and affection. So if the husband is not following, then the wife can take to Krishna consciousness. She can follow the ritual. She can do whatever is needed to make progress, advancement in Krishna consciousness. And she would 100% get the benefit of, yeah. She doesn't need a husband. Sorry. Smarari, sorry. But a wife, don't really, because you're working with the husband one-to-one because he's engaged in service. If he's not engaged in service, that's where the buck stops. It's not stops, but you set an example to your husband. So in due course of time, he can follow. It's not like if my husband can't follow and he's not following a process, then the marriage has to break and I have to go and find somebody else or have to do this and that. No, you have to be an example. If your husband cannot be an example to you, then you be an example to your husband. In that way, he is watching and he is reflecting, and in due course of time, and you're praying to Krishna for strength. Pray to Lord Chaitanya. So explain that praying to Lord Chaitanya, it's easier than praying to Krishna. He says, give up everything. Sarvadhamam parityaja. Give up everything and surrender to me. But Lord Chaitanya is very merciful. He's Tatikshiva Karunika, very merciful. He says, you don't have to give up anything. You know, it's almost contradicting 1866, is it? 65. Sarvadhamam parityaja. Yeah. He is almost contradicting that statement. He says, no, don't worry, you don't have to give up anything. But you just add the holy name. It's a secret, a trick. Add the holy name. And then when you keep chanting, automatically whatever attachments you have around you gradually fall away. Pratanachi Mat Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Go Premanande.